Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Mark chapter 6. I'll be reading from verses 30 to 44. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups, by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the word of God.
Come, let us pray. Speak to us, Lord, and indeed may our hearts be good soil, sensitive to your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever found it difficult to trust God for what you are going through? Do you at times feel that you don't have enough to meet the needs around you? Now, whether it's time, energy, or resources, we probably experience moments where we feel inadequate, especially if the Lord calls us to do something and we sense it, we often wonder, where is the resources going to come from? There are already many things on my plate. Now, our passage today about Jesus feeding the 5,000 with just loaves and 5 fishes speaks powerfully to the feelings that we have when we are inadequate. So I'd like us to reflect on the story as I bring us through, and then discern what might the Holy Spirit be speaking to us today. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus sent his disciples, 12 disciples, 2 by 2, on a mission trip. And Jesus gave them authority. So the context is that the disciples had already cast out demons, healed many who are sick. And they must be very excited at this point, having seen God's power at work in their lives. And they probably have their war stories to share with Jesus, their master. But Jesus understood that his disciples may be worn out, tired from their mission trip. So at the beginning of the verse, or in verse 31, he invited them to withdraw from the crowd. He said to them, "Come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest for a while." Unfortunately, the rest didn't happen. When they reached the other side of the river, thousands were waiting for them. And Mark tells us that this crowd ran on foot from all over the places looking for them. Now the scene tells us that the people running, looking for Jesus, were desperate. They were hungry for God's word. They're looking for healing, deliverance, a desperate people. And Jesus gave in to the crowd need and started teaching again. As Jesus was ministering, it looks like the disciples were keeping track of time. The disciples were perhaps nervous. It's getting late. They are in a desolate place. And so they advised their master, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late." Point is, Jesus, you need to quickly dismiss the crowd so that they can get food somewhere nearby, which is not nearby. Actually, they were in a desolate place. It's a practical concern. After all, a hungry man is an angry man, and there are thousands with them. One should never fight with hungry stomach. But Jesus' reply was astonishing, perhaps illogical. He said, and he answered them, you give them something to eat. Now perhaps the exhaustion and the hunger had taken a toll on Jesus. He wasn't thinking very well. So the disciples tried to knock some sense on their master. "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them to eat?" The concern seems to be twofold. 200 denarii at that time is the wages of 8 months' wages of a salary. So imagine, 8 months of your salary, go buy food, give to these people. They're probably concerned, "This is going to cost me a lot. How can our miserly income, or in fact, having no income since we have followed you, feed so many people?" Second concern probably was shock, more that they didn't budget for this after following Jesus. And so we can imagine some of them thinking, "Oh, has he lost it? Or, you know, is he crazy?" But do you realize something? Jesus wasn't asking for money. The context of the miracle, what later on happened, tells that Jesus, no, he will provide the resources. But the point is, will the disciples be able to trust him? But they are so uptight about cost. They became mathematicians. How much will this cost me? And they are overly concerned about the cost cloud their faith in God. Remember, it wasn't too long ago that these disciples were casting out demons, healing the sick, helping people in deliverance. They have seen the miracles. Surely they could have exercised some faith in their master. You know, the disciples remind me of someone. Me. You know, like the disciples, sometimes I can be preoccupied with costs. How much time is this going to cost me? How much resources? Oh no, my energy is going to be drained if I take this up. But brothers and sisters, Jesus is not calling us to perform the miracle. He will do it. Will you and I trust him? The disciples' mentality cautions us when we are overly concerned about what will this cost me, then we will miss the opportunity to see God's miracle done through us. In verse 38, Jesus says, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." He tells his disciples, "Go around, have a look, see what you can find." And the disciples probably asked the crowd, "Hey, bros, do you have any food?" Boss asking. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Mark doesn't capture the disciples' reaction, but the other gospel writers do. And their response was like, 5 loaves, 2 fish? This can barely feed one person. The five loaves, the loaves of bread at that time, is not what you typically find in your NTUC or your favorite provision shop, your Gardenia bread or whatsoever. John, the other gospel writer, tells us that these were small barley cakes. Bread in those times are flat. They reflect these are the kind of things, the diet of the people then. And the two fish is not like the picture you saw just now. So nice and fresh, eyes glittering. They are likely dried or salted fish or preserved fish that one takes on a journey. So if you are to follow Jesus from place to place, bringing this kind of food, this kind of staple, makes more sense and is more practical. Not the big loaf and the fresh fish that you see. And the people following Jesus were mostly poor, marginalized, outcasts. So these are poor people's food. Mark only numbers the men. He tells us 5,000 men. In those days, you count the men as your strength. But surely, there are women and children. So the number of people there could easily be more than 5,000. So imagine if you are one of Jesus' disciples, you see in your hands that kind of quality bread and fish, and then you look at the crowd, you probably see how little you have. And your natural conclusion is, this is not enough. It doesn't make any sense. All we see are limitations. And at times that is how we feel. When there's a call or a need to serve, you see limitations. I don't think I have the time. I'm not cut up for this. Too much responsibility. I just don't have the resources. There are just too many. What if? And I cannot. But aren't the disciples forgetful? Why did the thousands follow Jesus? They ran because they have witnessed the miracles that Jesus has done. Didn't the disciples see them? In the earlier chapters, Jesus made the impossible possible. The paralytic rose and walked. A man with withered hand was made whole again. A legion of demons trembled and ran at Jesus' command. And just one chapter before, Jesus raised a little girl from the dead. Now, if we believe that Jesus can heal, can deliver, and even raise people from the dead, why will the lack of resources limit what he can do through us? The disciples were focused on cost and limitations. What they did not have and could not do governs their decision making. Brothers and sisters, when we look too much in ourselves, who are we trusting? We are trusting ourselves. We are not trusting God. And therefore, the natural conclusion would be this won't work. There is no way. And like the disciples, we only see impossibilities and limitation. As I was looking at this story, I can't help but to think, who gave the loaves and the fishes? Mark doesn't tell us the identity of this person. But if you look into the Gospel of John, which records the same miracle, it tells that this was a boy. What is this boy thinking? Doesn't he know that his offering is a feeble effort? Now, we heard earlier that this meal is a modest meal. The boy has it. Maybe a boy's mummy prepared the meal in the morning, wrap it in a towel, place it in his little hands, and said, "Now, my son, this is the only meal you're going to have when you follow Jesus today. Don't lose it. That's all you have." Like the thousands of men, women, and children, a boy, by the end of the day, must also be very hungry. Why did he surrender his meal when was asked for? Maybe a boy didn't go to school, he's too poor to know how to count. Maybe he does not know how to think about limitations. Perhaps a boy was just being a child. Jesus asked, "This is what I have, therefore I give." Whatever the reasons, a boy didn't clench tightly to what he had. He opened his palms and offered. Sometimes I think too much. If a little boy from a crowd of more than 5,000 have this little meal and heard this appeal, don't tell me the 5,000 adults don't have anything? Don't adults who know how to plan and to think would know to pack some food? Not all, maybe some. It looks like it wasn't just the disciples who were counting costs and limitations. Perhaps the crowd also agreed that this is ridiculous. It just won't go far. I want to hold back. It's for me. But can you imagine? Just imagine with me. What if some among the thousands, just some, didn't hold back their Mediterranean chicken sandwich? Maybe some had a better meal. What if some offered that day? I think everyone would have a better feast. Don't you think so? And we will have a different story today. The cost is too great. There are too many limitations. And the crowd, the thousands, miss the opportunity to be part of Jesus' miracle. What was Jesus' response when he saw what probably was a miserable offering in human eyes? Jesus' reaction was like, "That will do just great." And he organized a seating plan for the banquet. It is not usual for Mark, our chop-chop gospel writer, to add a detail that no other gospel writers have in. Mark describes the grass that day. He tells us the grass was green. Jesus sat them down on green grass. Now, we will come to this significant detail in a while, but the story goes on with Jesus lifting that offering, looking into the heavens, blessed it, and broke bread. It is not the first time in the Bible that God fed thousands, that God provided for a multitude. That scene seems to echo what happened in the Old Testament. We remember the Exodus, don't we? When the people were hungry, the multitude were following, what did God do? He rained down manna and fed his people. No other person can do this except God. And this time, Jesus is the one hosting the meal. So one should ask, who exactly is Jesus? Why is it that he can do what only God can do? Well, the rest is history. Science and logic cannot explain what has happened. The bread and the fish didn't run out. And verse 42 tells us, Mark tells us, they all ate and were satisfied. It is not like everybody have to, hey, don't bite too much, huh? You eat a little bit too much, huh? Pass. The word in the original language for satisfied means filled to the brim. The crowd was full, satisfied, filled to the brim. And Mark tells us that those who ate were 5,000 men, but as I shared with you earlier, if you include the women and children, most likely there were, it's more than 5,000. And Jesus didn't just meet the need. He provided an abundance. So much so that the disciples managed to collect back 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. What do we learn? What is the Lord saying to you and I? Firstly, the nature of the miracle calls for a question that you and I must pay attention. Who is Jesus Christ? The feeding of the thousands is recorded in all four Gospels. The miracle happened in the full view of the thousands. Feeding is not an illusion. Illusion cannot fill people's stomach and fill it to the brim. And Jesus didn't need to activate a global food supply chain to produce the miracle. This was not a human feat. So one must consider deeply about the identity of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus to you? Mark doesn't give us any option. He tells us straight from the beginning of the gospel that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. So if you are not a believer, what's stopping you from discovering and believing in Jesus? We do have to give some thoughts and consideration who Jesus is. And if you are a believer, then if he is calling you to serve a need, how are you responding to the Lord? Will you be like the disciples, like the crowd who hold back? Or will you trust him? Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. The story also reveals God's heart. You see, there's a very important word in this story, and it is because of this word that Jesus fed the crowd. And it's verse 34, when Jesus saw the crowd, he had what? Compassion. The English word is limited in describing this word in its original language. The word compassion means to be moved inside, within your bowels. It means that something deep inside of you is stirred up. Compassion is not a feeling. It's not just a feeling. It's an action. You are deeply moved that it spurs you to do something. And for Jesus is to continue to teach, continue his ministry. He had deep sympathy and pity for the crowd that it led him to act. When Jesus saw them running like barefooted, maybe headless, don't know what are they doing. His response is, they are like sheep without a shepherd. He felt their hunger for God. He felt their need to hear a word from God. He was sensitive to their physical need. He knows that these people are hungry. Compassion, deep compassion for people, understands the spiritual needs and the physical needs. And he cannot, because of this compassion that he has, just send them away. He must feed them. If there's someone who is tired and hungry and needs a break, it is Jesus. He's also 100% man. We heard in verse 31 that the disciples didn't have the luxury to eat. The demands are there. Surely Jesus felt it. And the passage just before us, Jesus' cousin, the one who prepared the way for Jesus, John the messenger, was just beheaded, murdered. Surely Jesus needed the space to grieve. He would have loved the solitude. He would have loved to eat something. But his compassion for people made him look beyond his personal comfort and the need to minister. And he needed to minister to others first. So instead of looking at the crowd as, you guys are quite a nuisance. No, he cared for them. One of our church pillars is care and compassion. And we reflect Christ's compassion when we care for others. Just now we had the dedication of the youth and school ministry. People were serving there. To serve in this ministry means to give up your precious weekend. To give up your Saturdays to be with the kids on the parade square in the hot sun. Some of you give up half your Saturday to serve with the elderly at St. Luke's Elder Care. And for all of you who give up your Fridays to serve at Anderson, Saturdays, Sundays, our youth leader give up their time and their personal space, probably the only time they had after a long weekend, long week of work for the youth. You know, brothers and sisters, when we do that, you are reflecting Christ's compassion. You are going beyond your comfort, your space, to care for others. It takes compassion to serve. The third lesson that this miracle or this story show us is it's not about what we do not have. It's not about what we do not have or what we have, but who we have with us. The story powerfully demonstrates that. You know, like the disciples, sometimes we think we need to have a lot before we respond to God's calling. We think that we must have the costs and the limitations covered before we respond to God. But brothers and sisters, when we think too much of this, we are believing in ourselves rather than trusting in the Lord. And throughout Scripture, God shows that he does not need big offerings to do his work. It was the simple staff at Moses' hand that parted the sea. A small troop is all God needs to help Gideon fight the thousands or maybe the hundreds of thousands. another boy in the story in the Old Testament with 5 stones in his hand. That's all God needs, a little boy, some stones to bring down a giant. The story of Jesus feeding the thousands have always been a very, very dear story in my heart. This is the story that calls me into ministry. And I always think that I'm called into ministry after I enter into ministry. It's a big struggle to leave a well-paying job, there's a housing loan to service, then theological education, salary becomes allowance, and then the future is unknown. So one of the things I like to do is go to the beach, look at the sea. And that particular Monday morning, I brought this issue to the Lord. My heart was heavy and burdened, thinking, how would this all work out? Will anyone marry a poor theological student? And on that Monday morning at Sembawang Park, I stared at the beach and I saw a little fish near the shore. Being a kind-hearted person, I tried to throw it back to the sea. It didn't work out. Somehow the waves keep pushing the fish back to the shore. And I was staring at this flipping fish, flip, flip, about to die. And it was then that the Lord impressed this story in my heart. And it's like you listen, you hear not an audible voice, but something deeply impressed upon your heart that says something like this. Do you think I can't provide? If I fed the 5,000, why is it I can't provide for you? It's a very surreal moment. Up to today, it still gives me the jitters whenever I read this story. The Lord's rebuke spurred me to faith, and it has been more than 20 years since that day. Someone did marry me. I'm blessed in so many ways as I follow the Lord. God made a banquet out of my life. And the story in the lesson on the beach always encouraged me in ministry. You know, sometimes the week is tight. Demand exceeds supply, and you feel nervous about a situation, and there are deadlines to meet. You know, the distance between where I sit to this pulpit is about 10 seconds walk. But in 10 seconds, you can have a lot of things in your mind, a mental battle. Do I have something adequate to bring and to feed these people? And then it's sometimes during those times, you hear that voice again. What is in your hands? There are days that I tell the Lord, I don't even have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the Lord says, that's all I need. Each time the Lord asks us to give the 5 loaves and 2 fish, He will make a banquet out of it. Brothers and sisters, don't be mistaken. 5 loaves and 2 fish are not spare change. They are not leftovers. They are everything. The Lord wants everything. Because it is when you don't have and you give, that is where you are able to trust and see that it is a miracle. And you know something? If Jesus can feed the 5,000, why does He need you to give? He doesn't need our help. But in calling us, He's giving you the opportunity to be part of the miracle. He's making you and I a channel of blessing. I wonder if Mark had intended to tell us about the season at that time. Verse 39, he describes the grass, a very short green grass. Jesus set the crowd on green grass. Green grass means that the miracle took place around Passover time, because that's the only time that there will be much grass in Palestine, according to one of the commentators. And the Gospel of John has this line to this story. The Jewish Passover feast was near. It's spring. Passover is near. That means the cross is near. Jesus would offer his life for you and I. The one who called us to give all gave everything. He gave more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. It is he who has first given us. The story reveals our human condition. When we sense God's calling, we focus on costs and limitation, or like the crowd, we hold back. But when one responds to Jesus, he makes a banquet out of it. Many will be blessed, and you are part of the miracle. And I believe that Jesus is still looking for people who will surrender what's in their palm, so that he will make a banquet for many. What are the 5 loaves and 2 fish that God might be calling you? Will you believe that God will take it, bless it, and make it a banquet for many? I wonder how a little boy felt when Jesus accepted his little meal. How did he react when Jesus lifted his offering to heaven and blessed it? What was his face like when he saw the multitude eating the banquet, and then looking at his offering multiply, and then seeing the disciples collecting back the 12 baskets? How did he feel when his stomach was filled to the brim with the thousands around him? How would you feel if you are that little boy? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. May your word continue to speak to us. May we be sensitive to your spirit. For this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Srimal, for the message. Church, I offer my life is a profound worship song written by Don Moen, released in 1998. The song captures the essence of total dedication to God, inviting us as believers to lay down everything to God. Let us sing this song, recognizing that everything belongs to God and to offer all aspects of our life to God. May I invite all of you to stand as we sing this closing song, I Offer My Life. Sing together. use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life.
Sing it together, all that I am.
All that I am, all that I have, I lay them down.
Good morning, one and all. Morning to you. Yeah, good to hear you. Is there anyone of you who is here for the very first time? We'd like to welcome you. Can you just put out your hand? Hi, brother. Welcome. So take a seat. Anybody else? Back. Right. A couple of announcements. First, I want to invite our Deacon Leonard. Deacon Leonard, where are you? Okay, so he's still at the back. Okay, while he's making his way, let me go on to the next announcement. Now, we have shared with you about a workshop that we are having, Spot the Scams, Keep Your Cash. Okay, this workshop will be conducted by Infocom Media Development Authority. Right, so they will have speakers to come and share with us. And if you think that, you know, this is related to just a certain group of people, think again. Many young people today are also scammed. Okay, jobs, e-commerce, investment. So how do we identify, how do we prevent? Okay, so the talk is on 2222, 22nd Feb, 2 p.m. Below at the MPH. Okay, so we have close to 40 people who have signed up, I think reaching 40 soon. So if you have not signed up, do sign up so that we can settle the catering, okay? So do it by today, yeah? The registrations link have been sent to your cell group leaders, okay? All right, Deacon Leonard, come share with us about church camp.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Leonard. I'm one of the church camp coordinators this year. So earlier this morning, right, we were singing a song of counting every blessing. And I just want to give an update. I really want to thank all of y'all that has signed up. So we have really counted every one of y'all as a blessing to us, right, this year. And up to date, we have up to close to 110 people that signed up. So really give everyone a round of applause. Thanks so much for this early, for your early registration. And also at the same time, for those that are not in this 110, you know what to do. So sign up after today, okay? So I just want to remind us also that, as some of you know, the registration and the payment is made separately. The payment is done at the booths in the front every Sunday. Our very friendly church camp committee are always at the front every Sunday, publicizing and also keeping payments. So those who have yet to make payments also feel free to do so. Our booths will be open for 3 more Sundays up to 23rd Feb, where our registration will be closing. So just pray alongside with us, and also pray for those that haven't signed up. Pray and ask God if this is an opportunity that you can fellowship the rest of the church and also experience Him through this church camp for 8 to 11 June. Okay, thank you, everyone.
Okay, do sign up if you have not. All right. So you also help the committee to iron out certain things with the hotel in terms of your rooming and things like that. So I also heard that because we are looking at intergenerational, but we are not going to put you all in intergenerational rooming. Don't worry. Okay, the rooming is still private, so to say, according to your family or your couples. Okay, so just be clear about that. Okay, all right, the classes that will be happening is the evangelism class. Okay, I think it was a good number, about close to 50 people who have signed up. Now, just for this week, you need to climb Mount Sinai a bit. Okay, you need to count 4 levels, all right, and go to the AVA room, okay, the PHS AVA room at the classroom block, the IT room block, but you need to climb 4 levels up, okay, because the school is having something at the IT room, okay? So take a slow walk, okay? Then take your time to go up, okay? So that's the evangelism class. And then, those who sign up for the MFL, I see you at classroom C113, okay? 11 a.m., both classes. Okay, that's all the announcement I'd like to highlight. Let's stand as we receive the benediction. Thank you, Lord. You are the Lord of the banquet. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for a time of silent meditation.